This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I am very happy to be with you today. I'm delighting in the Lord today. This is the day He has made, right? We're called to rejoice and be glad in it, and I am being glad in the moment. And that's where the grace is. It's in the present moment. You know, the evil one wants to have us worrying about things that haven't happened yet. He wants us to worry and fret over things that have happened in the past. But God's grace isn't in the past, and God's grace isn't in the future. When the future is the present, God's grace will be there. When the past was the present moment, His grace was there. His grace is in the present moment. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that fact, especially when we begin to feel fretful and we begin to feel fearful and we begin to feel worried and we begin to feel as though everything is coming undone. We need to remember, wait a second. God does not bring us fear. He tells us that fear is useless, Jesus says. What is needed is trust. I have to trust in God, and I know that His grace is here right now, and I'm calling upon that grace. I'm going to walk in that grace. And sometimes when I just can't get myself calmed down, I just go straight into praise, because it says in Scripture that God inhabits the praises of His people, and I'll praise Him, and I'll say, Father God, I am so glad that You are here right now, Holy Spirit. I'm so delighted You're here. Jesus, You're here with the redemptive grace that I need for this moment, and I thank You and I praise You that Your grace is available to me right now. And as we continue to praise the Lord in that way, guess what? The fear dissipates, the fretfulness subsides, and we begin to experience that overwhelming sense of peace and surrender that God wants us to know. So anyway, just a little tip if you're feeling fretful today. I don't know. I think that maybe one or two of you are at least feeling a little fretful, a little worried, a little nervous. We're very busy here in South Florida getting ready for our day tomorrow at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church. As you well know, we are having a beautiful day's retreat called Healing the Wounds of the Heart. We are very excited about this. I'm excited about what God is going to do. I am filled with holy zeal for the day, and I have expectant faith. I know God is going to show up, right? But there's a lot of preparations that have to happen, and I've got a whole bunch of stuff sitting in front of me, and my regional coordinators and facilitators and my staff have stuff sitting in front of them. But you know what? God's got it. He's got it. He is about a work, and we put our faith and our trust and our hope in Him. Don't allow ourselves to become overwhelmed, and just take it one step at a time. So maybe you needed to hear that little message today. I did. Sometimes I preach to myself. And when I do that, I remind myself of the thing that is most important, and that is to be open to God, open to the grace that He's got for me right now, and yield to that grace and move in that grace and not in my fretfulness or concern or worry or fear or anything else that the evil one tries to hurl at me and send my way. Do want to hear from you today, 833-288-EWTN. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. You know we love to have holy conversation with you. Let me give you that number again. It's toll-free for you in North America, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. And easy, breezy, and oh so effective. When you call in, you will be speaking with Matt Gubensky. Give him a big old howdy hey. He'll get you up on the board. I'll be able to take your call. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use the chat feature at either one of those two sites and to put in your question, your comment, your thought, your word of inspiration or encouragement. We want to know what the Lord is doing in your life, and we want to give you an opportunity to proclaim His marvelous deeds. Yes, we do. So this morning, I attended St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church for morning mass. You know, it is First Friday. In addition to that, it is the feast day of St. Blaise. And it was Father Paul Karenga who celebrated the mass. Now, Father Paul Karenga has been a guest on our television program in the past. In addition to that, I have had the good pleasure of knowing Father over the last few years. And we have a very vibrant Women of Grace group at St. Mark the Evangelist, both in English and in Spanish. Gail Coniglio and Olga Marie are two fantastic women who have led, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of women through this study through St. Mark's. And it was so lovely to see him at Mass. And he saw me sitting there in the congregation and made mention of our efforts there in Boca Raton coming up tomorrow. He shared that last evening we were gathered and he joined us with some of the people that helped to support our ministry with their time, with their talent, and yes, with their treasure. And it was a great, great opportunity, I think, really to see what the Lord was doing and what he was saying to all of us. And so I wanted to give Father Paul a shout out and to thank him for mentioning our upcoming event there. And I want you to join us. I really do. It's not too late to register. We have hit the number that we thought we would hit, and we've got a few additional seats. I was concerned we wouldn't have enough of everything. But we do, my women have assured me, we do have what we need, Johnette. So we can be prepared for you to come and join us tomorrow. And I'm certainly hoping that if the Holy Spirit is prompting you, you will join us. It's easy breezy for any of you that are right here on the east coast of Florida. So don't hesitate. We are still taking registration over the internet. And we invite you to go to our website, womenofgrace.com, and you can register there. We'll also take as many walk-ups as we can accommodate tomorrow. But the fact of the matter is, it's best to secure your spot if you can. So get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, and register. Concurrent, of course, I've been telling you, we're going to have a Young Women of Grace Day of Retreat as well. And what that theme is discovering the awesome reality of your feminine identity. And I know that the girls are going to benefit so greatly by this day, just as the women will in their session. The young women are going to join the adult women later in the day for the last talk and for the healing service. So it's gonna be beautiful. It's going to be just an event, I think, that's going to be very meaningful to so many people. So please do join us there if you possibly can. We have all kinds of other upcoming events happening this year. It's our 20th anniversary year. I'm going to be going back to my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're going to be at St. John Newman, Regina Chaley Catholic Church there in the city. And it's going to be lovely. That's going to begin with a Benedicta Enrichment Seminar that's going to take place March 23rd into the 24th. I think that's the right date. Let me make sure. I'm out here on the website myself, so I can check for you really quickly. Make sure I'm giving you the right information. I don't want you to arrive a day late or a penny short. I want you to come right on time and bring your penny with you. Let me just see when this is going to be. It's the 23rd, and the 23rd is going to be the beautiful Benedictine Enrichment Seminar, 2 days with Mary, A Journey into Our Mother's Heart. It continues into Friday, and Friday is part two of that. It'll close out somewhere around 2 or 3 in the afternoon. The retreat begins that Friday evening, and that retreat is the Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit. It's going to be beautiful, and it's going to run through that Saturday, which is the Feast of the Annunciation. How perfect is that? The Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit. Couldn't get better than that on the Feast of the Annunciation. And then we will close out on Sunday. So it's a full-blown Women of Grace event happening in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, between March 23rd and 25th. You can sign up for part of it. You can sign up for all of it. You can join us for, the seminar. A Young Women of Grace event is also going to be held at that same time. And I believe that the theme is the same as we're having here. Discover why your feminine identity is so awesome. So anyway, just giving you a little heads up about what's coming up. We want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. We are here for you today. Don't delay. Call right away on this beautiful Friday in the Lord. And we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Please use the chat feature there and get your question up on the board. Coming right back after this break. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, Welcome back, everybody. So happy you're joining us today. Here we are, eager to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have holy conversation with you. Also want to invite you to go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, will retrieve it. He'll put it up on the board and I can address it. Matt Gubensky is on the phones today. He is our call screener. And I know that he's eager to hear from you. All of the lines are available right now, so let's populate those lines. I encourage you to give us a call. If you're outside of North America, we've got a number for you too. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. Country code 1-205-271-2985. Here's a beautiful thing. We were talking a little bit earlier about how it is that the evil one wants to basically control us, and I would say put us in bondage to inordinate fear. And when I talk about inordinate fear here, I'm talking about a type of morbid fear, a fear that isn't coming from our emotions warning us that we're in impending danger. So, you know, if you have a house on fire, you should feel fearful. God's given you that emotion to get you out of that house into safety, right? But no, here I'm talking about the kind of fear that becomes like a cloud over our head and seems to follow us around. Fear of something bad happening. Fear of what's going on in the world today. Fear of what the future is going to look like. Fear for your economic well-being. Fear for your health. Fear for the health of a family member. Fear that somebody's going to die soon. Fear, an inordinate fear of diseases, viruses, whether it goes from COVID to this flu virus that's going around or any virus in between. That is not healthy fear. That is not the kind of fear God wants us to know. And he tells us that in Scripture. I proclaimed that passage to you, and I said, you know, Jesus tells us, fear is useless. What is needed is trust. You hear me talk about it so often on the air because I know so many people who are so fearful. Now, it's not a sin to be fearful unless in some way we do not seek remedy for that fear. The evil one will tempt us to that kind of fear, but we don't have to give in to the temptation. We need to use the aids that God gives us so that indeed we don't become controlled by the fear, but rather we not only control the fear, but we vanquish and conquer the fear. And I shared with you one way in which we can do that, right? I shared with you that, you know, when you begin to be overwhelmed by that fear, we want to pray. Obviously, the best way to pray, I think, or let me put it this way, I can't categorize prayer. All prayer is good and wonderful. All prayer is conversation with God. But I would say that a very efficacious way to pray in those moments is what I've already suggested, right? And what is that? That is to praise God, to start to renew the mind according to praising God. St. Paul tells us in Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this age, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may know what is God's will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Well, part of this renewal of the mind has to do with the way in which we allow ourselves to enter into this acknowledgement that God is greater than all things, and God has a plan for me, and his plan for me is not for woe. It's a plan for a future full of hope, and I'm going to praise him and thank him in this moment when all is pressing down on me, trying to crush me under this weight of fear. Now, I'm just sensing that a number of you have experienced this. I've experienced it in my own life, which is why I know praise is so effective. I'm not telling you this just because Scripture says it, although that's a good enough reason to tell you this. But I'm telling you this because I've experienced it, and I know its power. And I know that God comes, that he's already there. He's never away from us. But when I'm controlled by fear, anxiety, morbid worry, all of these things, when I'm consumed by them in a given moment, I'm not open to being able to enter into the remedy that God has. because the fear is owning me. Now, I can begin to own the fear by praising the Lord and just telling him, I'm so glad you're here, Father God. I am worried, I am concerned, and this fear is pressing down upon me. But I say no to that, and I say yes to you in this moment. I give you my fiat. Open my heart, open my mind, open my soul to receive every spiritual blessing in the heavens that you long for me to receive. You've been so good to me in the past. And that brings us to the other remedy. We begin to look at our salvation history. We begin to take a backward glance at all of the moments in our life that seemed so threatening in a given moment, and yet God was there. We even look at those times when we were walking through perilous circumstances, when we had reason to have a natural concern and worry, not a morbid one, but a natural one. And we see God was there, and we begin to recall to our mind all of those times when he was there with us in the past. What does that do? Well, that informs, right? That informs our consciousness. It informs our mind, and we're thinking about God's blessings in the past. But God will bring those same blessings forward into the present moment. And so we thank him and praise him for, here you were, Lord, and I was so worried about this back then, and you showed up, Father God, you showed me. And here I was in a very difficult situation, and it was a non-correctable situation, but you were there. You gave me the grace to endure. No, you gave me the grace to embrace. You were with me in that trial, Lord, and I gained sustenance and strength and confidence by way of you. So there's two strategies already for overcoming that fear. The third thing has to do with taking a certain authority over that spirit of fear. Now, as lay people, we cannot exorcise, right? We cannot cast out, but we have authority in our homes. We have authority in our vehicles. We have authority in the minutes that occupy our day. We have authority in those minutes. It comes to us by way of baptism, strengthened in us through confirmation. And so we can take a certain authority in those moments, and we can bind. And we can just pray the St. Michael the Archangel prayer, for example. You know, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. I'm in battle right now. And St. Michael, I know you were right with me. And St. Michael, so I ask now through the power of God that the spirit of fear would be vanquished. Vanquished. Use your fiery sword to vanquish the spirit of fear. And I like to pray out loud, as you might guess. I like to pray out loud because not only then am I thinking the thoughts, but I'm speaking the thoughts. And in thinking and speaking the thoughts, I am hearing the thoughts. And when we speak the word of God into the atmosphere changes. The atmosphere changes. And so we change the atmosphere. We breathe in the life of God as the putrid odor that is sometimes not sensate, but the putrid odor from our thoughts, from our emotions, the putrid odor of Satan is gone. So there's three strategies for you to be able to be a more than conqueror in Christ Jesus. Here it is. This is a beautiful thing. This comes from Proverbs chapter 3. And what does Jesus tell us? Fear is useless. What is needed is what? Trust. What is needed is what? Trust, right? True resolve under severe testing. In that moment, you are under severe testing. But we need to have true resolve in that moment. Trust is true resolve under severe testing. And so, and that comes right from our Lord. So here we are, Proverbs 3, and we're looking at verse 5 and following. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. And here it would be faulty insight. Oh my goodness, everything's falling apart. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Even if everything is falling apart, we don't need to be a victim of fear because God's got a plan. God works all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes. Amen. Hope you're saying amen. So be it. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. Acknowledge him in that moment of fear. You're walking in a path of fear. The fear, the path of fear is walking all over you. What do? We acknowledge him. We acknowledge him in that path. And he makes it straight for us, straight out of the hell that the evil one is trying to pull us into. Be not in your wise in your own words. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now here, this isn't fearing the Lord in the sense that we think of fear. It's you know, recognize the awesomeness of God. Be taken up by his majesty. Be taken up by his glory. Be taken up by the attributes of the Trinitarian life. Be taken up in that. Live and dwell in that. Fear that. Have holy awe for that. And pretty soon that awe will encompass you and you'll feel the presence of the Lord, right? So it says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now here we're talking about turning away, of course, through an action. And that action is not only one of turning our back on the evil one, but also of turning our back on the way in which he wants to occupy our mind. And that praise helps us to do that. That trust in God helps us to do that. And then here's a promise. Here's a promise. And it says, I think that this is verse 8. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Woohoo! It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. The very interior of your being will be restored by the Lord. And you will walk out of that misery. You will walk out of that condition. You will find the wisdom of God. You will find the provision of God. You will find that he is trustworthy, that he is there with you, and that he has delivered you from what it is that the evil one was seeking to place you into bondage over. So there you have it. Just a few words today. Maybe you have experienced this release that comes by way of trusting in God, that comes by way of praising him, that comes by way of that beautiful action of renewing the mind according to his word. I would like to hear about it today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And while I'm waiting for these lines to light up, I am going to ask a question that William left for us. William is in New York. He didn't want to come on the air, but he said, please tell me more about nuns marrying Jesus. Wow, that's a beautiful, beautiful topic. You know, I just had this thought at Mass today. You know, we come to Holy Communion. Part of the reading today came from Hebrews, and it was talking about do not defile the marriage bed. Do not defile the marriage bed. And as Father was proclaiming those words, the thought came into my mind that every time we receive our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, we are entering into a covenant relationship with him. We're entering into a nuptial relationship with him. And we want to make certain that we present ourselves to him in that moment undefiled, that moment of receiving him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, Jesus entering into the interiority of our being. That is the marriage bed. That is this place of wedding with Jesus. And we don't want that place of wedding, our soul, our heart, to be defiled in any way. We want to make sure that we're adequately prepared for that moment. That we're not in a state of serious sin, that we have observed the call to fast an hour before receiving him, that we present ourselves to him as holy and as undefiled, as pure as we can possibly be. Now, for a religious sister and for a religious brother as well, this nuptial union is the fulcrum, the center of their life. And they pledge absolute fidelity to the Lord for him to be their only love. And by this I mean they forego the holy and awesome vocation of matrimony, the reality of bearing children, and knowing grandchildren for the sake of this ultimate union with God. The religious sister, the religious brother, presents herself or himself to the Lord in an attitude of spousalship. Spousalship. And both religious brothers and religious sisters point to a higher reality. Because in heaven, we will experience that wedding feast with the Lamb of God completely and totally. You will recall that the marriage vows say that we love and honor each other all the days of our life, or until death us do part. There is no marriage in heaven, because then the fullness and the completion, the fulfillment of the sign to which they point will be accomplished. So when we see a religious brother or a religious sister, it raises our mind to the higher thing and tells us that one day we too will be in this spousal relationship with the Lamb. So I hope that that helps you, William. You know, I was sharing with somebody yesterday that the reality of Christianity, the reality of what's given to us in the Old Testament, and I would say demonstrated in the most magnificent of ways in the New Testament, is that it's all about covenant. It's all about a nuptial reality. Jesus is coming back for his bride, right? And that is his church. And that is you and me. So there you have it. I hope that does help you. Looking forward to your calls today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Don't delay. Call right away. Keep Matt Kubinski busy. Make these lines light up for us today. We're going to be right back, inviting you to stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. So happy you're joining us today. We're eager to hear from you. Our phone lines are open for you. Matt Kubinski is our call screener. He is ready for you, and so am I. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Please pick up the phone and give us a call here. You can also use social media. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is available for you there. If you go out there, you can see me. I'm giving you a little wave right now. I'm waving to you too, even if you can't see me. But those that are out there, they can see me. We invite you who are out there to use that chat feature there to put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. And Jeff will put it up on the board. He's our social media manager and our producer, and I will be able to address it. I am looking forward to seeing these phones light up. I do. I want to see them light up my life today by giving me a call right away. How is that? Let's hear from you. I'm sure that there's been a time when you have been overcome by fear, or at least fear was trying to overcome you, and you found the gracious beatitude of God present to you. He was there with exactly what you needed in that moment. We need to remind ourselves about that time. We need to remind others that God is present. And when we share our testimony, that's exactly what happens. As a matter of fact, after Mass today, I had a woman that came up to me and she said, Johnette, she said, I heard your testimony. And she said, it led me back to the church. Isn't that amazing? And that's what we talk about all the time. We have absolutely no idea how God uses the testimony of our own lives to be a source of inspiration, consolation, and encouragement to others. And so when I invite you to call to give a testimony here, it's because I know that that testimony is not going to return void to the Lord. You know, it tells us in Scripture that the Lord's words will not return to him void, right? The word of God will not return to him void. So when you're sharing and proclaiming God's work in your life, proclaiming his marvelous deeds, that's not going to return to God void. There's going to be a fruit that comes forth from that in the life of somebody else, namely the hearer who is listening at that moment. So through radio, don't we have a tremendous opportunity to reach hundreds of thousands of people, millions even, right? And so when you call in and you share your testimony, you are, I get the image of a biblical figure walking through the fields with a sack, attached to his body, like a shoulder strap, and he's dipping into that bag and he's taking the seed out and he's flinging that seed with every step that he takes, and he doesn't know where it's going to land. And sometimes it's not going to produce a lot of fruit. You know, it lands on rocky soil or stony soil, or it rises where, you know, the roots cannot grow deep, or whatever the case is. But some of that seed is going to fall on good soil. And it is going to produce fruit 100-fold. And so your word is like that. Your testimony is like that. You throw it out there. You don't know where it's going to land. But we do know one thing. It's going to land somewhere, because Scripture promises us that. So there you have it. So do call in. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have Andre with us in New Mexico today. Good morning, Andre. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. And I was obedient. I wanted to keep Matt busy.
So, oh, good.
throw a little humor in there.
Anyway, yes.
Yes. Thank you. And he says, how did he say? What question would you have? Or I don't remember exactly what he said, but I said, why can't we all get into national prayer as all believers for this United States of America, for us, and for the whole world? Because, quite frankly, it's a mess, you know. And if believers would get into prayer, and like you said, maybe a little fasting, and be obedient to the covenants, like you mentioned earlier, of, mm-hmm. you know, communion and all the other covenants that Christ left us, maybe we could make a little dent, you know, in this world. And I do have a short testimony.
Good.
I shouldn't be here right now. I got hit with COVID. It was 2 years ago on the 31st of January. And then my brother got it, and then my mom. I lost my brother and my mom to it.
Oh,
I spent
goodness.
I spent 16 days in ICU here in Española. But by the grace of God, I'm here calling you this morning and, saluting all the listeners and all the saints, you know, because they're God's children. They call, like, you know, they're obedient. And that's why I'm tugging now at my heart to make this call. And we do need to pray for our nation and for all the nations, not just be stingy just for our nation, but for all the nations. And because it quite frankly, it's a mess. But you know what? Christ can hear us and intervene and make things better, you know, like a healing balm.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, just getting this little revelation of prayer can be like a healing balm. And, you know, when you put it over like a wound, a balm. B-A-L-M-B. Yeah, not bomb, but bomb,
right.
Bomb. Anyway, thank you. Another little humor. But anyway, I shouldn't be here, but for the grace of God, I'm here, and I'm off the oxygen, still struggling a little bit, you know, with the long hauling or shortness of breath sometimes. But nevertheless, I'm here, and I just want to thank you for this program. I know... I hear it all the time because I really find it really rewarding, you know, spiritually wise. And like I told Matt, not just Catholics, but all believers, because, you know, once we start putting labels on folks, we kind of missed the boat already, you know. Mm-hmm. Leave it up to Christ to tug the heart, you know, and he will, the mind, the heart, the soul, the spirit. So yes. I'll go ahead and leave you now because I know you probably have a lot of callers keeping that busy.
Yes. Well, Andre, I want to thank you so very, very much for your call. And I want to thank you so very much for your faith. And I want to thank you very much for your witness. And I want to tell you that you should be here because God has ordained that you still be here because he continues to use you as an instrument to proclaim his honor and his glory. And he has work for you to do. If it was your time to go, as your mother went and as your brother went, he would have taken you then. That was their time. It's not your time. So there's still more that he's got in mind for you. And we thank and we praise him. And before I respond to your question, I just want to just say a little prayer with you right now. Father God, your son comes before you in this moment. And here he is. And you have given him life for many more days, Lord. And I know that you want to use him in a powerful way as a witness to your truth in this world that is infatuated with lie and deception. Father God, your son is struggling. He's doing better, but he's still struggling. He has this incapacity, Father, to breathe fully on his own without the aid of oxygen. Father God, you are a God of miracles. We believe in your power. We know your power to be true. We know your power to be effective. We know your power is always available to us. And so I'm going to ask right now for a very special favor. I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit would come down upon your son, Andre, right now, that he would be completely healed, the entirety of his respiratory system, anything in there, Father God, that is fouling up the works, I'm asking now. That the Holy Spirit would radiate that area with healing light, that everything would be mitigated, Lord, everything would return to normal. I pray that his lungs be even in better condition than they were in prior to this malady, because you work all things to the good. And when you restore, Father God, you don't just put us back together again like Humpty Dumpty. You make us better than we were before. You raise us up to a new level, physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. And I'm praying that for Andre in this moment, Father. And we thank you and we praise you for the work that you are doing and for all, Father God, that you desire to do in your son and through your son. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. And all the people said, Amen.
So, Amen. And keep New Mexico, and Española in prayer. We all need it so bad. Thank you. I received that prayer, and I thank you for it.
So welcome, Andre. So now I want to just address what you were talking about, Andre, about all of America praying. And I just said something to somebody today about that. I said, if we only understood the power of prayer. Oh, I know. It was Winifred, who I met for the first time at Mass this morning. And she said to me that she prays all the day, that she prays the Divine Mercy Chaplet over and over again. I had another woman that came up to me and said that she prays the rosary for each of her four children every day, and that she prays more than that every day of the rosary. If we only understood the power of prayer, and God himself gives us promise in sacred scripture. And I want to tell you, I just want to quote two passages to you, everybody. And I want you to hear these passages, and I want you to take heart in these passages. But more than that, I want you to follow through on what the Lord is saying in these passages to each one of us today. First of all, in Ezekiel, he tells us, and this is in chapter 23, he tells us what the problem is. And here is what the problem is. Let me see if I can find this really quickly here. I'm looking and looking and looking. Let's see. He's talking about the fact that he could find no one to stand in the gap, and to pray for what was going on. And because there was no intercession, things did not go so well. I'm not finding the passage exactly right at the moment. It's going to come out at me any minute now. I'm fairly confident. But if it doesn't, that is the essence of that passage. Now, given that, he's looking for people to stand in the gap. He desires to work in union with us which is an amazing thing. The power of intercession is tremendous. He wants to work in union, in conjunction with us. He wants his power to flow through us out into the world. So we need to stand in the gap. We need to stand in the gap between God and the mess of the culture. We need to put ourselves right in that gap, and we need to pray and intercede. Just like Moses prayed and interceded, we need to pray and intercede. And then he makes this promise to us in 2 Chronicles 7, in verse 14. He says, if my people, now I want to draw your attention to that personal pronoun. If my people, who are the people of God? The people who know him. Who are the people of God? The people to whom he has revealed himself. We are the people of God. Catholics are the people of God. Other Christians are the people of God, right? We are the people of God. He's not calling upon the heathen. He's not calling upon the atheist. He is not calling upon the naysayers. He is not calling upon the powers and principalities of this kingdom. He's not calling upon our political people. He's not calling upon, international organizations. He's calling upon you and me. He's telling us what to do. He's telling us that things go awry because nobody stands in the gap. And so he's telling us what happens if we stand in the gap. He says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, if my people who call upon my name, or called to call upon the name of the Lord, humble themselves, come to him in humility. Now, what is humility? Knowing that he is God and we are not. Knowing that we are dust, but God is the Almighty. But acknowledging the fact that God uses the simple, uses the foolish to confound the wise. Knowing that we have a part to play in this, if we come in that kind of humility, asking him to work through us in spite of our own weaknesses and imperfections, he says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, get it? Who is the onus on? The onus is on the believer. The onus is on us. Those who are not believers deny the very power that God wants to impart to them by way of the passion, death, and resurrection of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not. We proclaim the cross. We proclaim the power of redemptive grace. We proclaim the almightiness of God and his providence. So what do we have to do? He tells us. We have to humble ourselves, we have to pray to him, we have to seek him, and we have to turn from our wicked ways. Then, and here's the promise, here it comes, I will hear them from heaven. I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Did you hear that? Heal their land. He will hear us and he will heal. He will hear us and he will heal. He will hear us and he will heal. What is the condition? The condition is that we humble ourselves, that we pray to God, that we seek God, that we turn from our evil ways, that we stand in the gap. So what you say, Andre, is very true. If we would just get that message and follow through on it, my goodness sakes, we could reclaim this culture, claim this world in one generation. But we have to take action. We cannot be a naysayer. We cannot doubt God. We've got to move. We've got to move in his direction under his orders and be those warriors for his kingdom at this moment in the history of man. Let's go to Lori. Lori is in Denver today listening to us via the EWTN app. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Jeanette. Thank you for taking my call.
You're so welcome.
And I appreciate your call, screener, for helping me understand that this is a valid question. I feel petty about it. I'm wondering if I should lovingly admonish a pew monger or not. I've been praying for years for a friend to come back into the church, and finally he has and wanted to sit across the aisle from me. I'm in music ministry.
Yes.
And so that was nice. He could sit across the aisle. So the seat that he chose, apparently there is a long-standing established family behind him that were very unfriendly. The man would kneel with his arm across into the seat of my friend's face to where my friend couldn't sit back. He overheard them backstabbing him and telling another person, well, I tried to save your seat, and it just was so unfriendly. A priest ask us to welcome each other and say, it is good that you are here. So he did that. He turned around and said, good morning, it's good that you are here, and got scowls, and it just broke my heart. And I'm wondering if this is a time and place for me to try to lovingly admonish this man. I know his wife to be abrasive. She's been abrasive to me before, but that's okay. I can offer up the little things and move on, but to have someone new coming back, it's heartbreaking. I worry about other people that might try to sit there that are new. The church needs more people, not mean people. And I was just really hoping you could shed some light of God's love on this situation, please.
Well, Lori, thank you so very much for your question. And I always think it's very, very regrettable when we claim ownership over certain portions of the church. Like, this is my pew. I sit in this seat every week. Nobody else is allowed to sit here. We don't own the church. We don't own it property-wise, you know, in the physical reality. And we certainly don't own it in the spiritual reality. We're entering into God's kingdom at that moment, and God is king. And all of it is God's, and he makes all of his treasures available to all of his children. And I know, I mean, this is something that we understand happens where people, you know, always sit in the same place. They get very comfortable in that place. They begin to feel, a certain kind of entitlement to that space being reserved for them. In this case, it's not even the pew they usually sit in. It's the pew in front of them, if I understand the layout correctly.
Yes.
So they certainly have no dibs on that the pew in front of them. And I think it's, I oftentimes wonder how it is that we can enter into the house of God and with that sense of entitlement and with that sense of ownership that would lead us to disparage another. I can't imagine how that must break the heart of God. This is what I would say. In sacred scripture, it tells us that, and it's a sin. It's a sin against charity. I mean, it's just, I can't judge the motivation of their heart. I certainly don't know what the state of their soul is. But I can say that the action in and of itself is a sinful action. It's objectively wrong. And we do have an obligation based on what we're told in sacred scripture that when we have been offended by someone, we are to go to that person. And if the person refuses to, change his ways, then we go to an elder of the church. In this case, it would be the priest of the church. And if that doesn't resolve things, we go to the next level of authority. But we start off with the person who is causing the offense. And I would suggest to you that it would be fully within the province of Christian charity to gently and lovingly explain the situation. I wouldn't call it a reproof. I would simply say, I wouldn't reproof them, but I would simply say, my friend is in the process of coming back to the faith and feels comfortable sitting here. And I respectfully ask you to treat him with respect. And I would let it go with that and see what kind of a response you get. They might become very offended by it, but, so sometimes we don't like to accept the truth. But based on the way that you've shared this story, I don't think there's anything the matter with that. The last thing you want to do is cause an uprising, in church. You don't want to have a shouting match. If the gentle word that you speak there is not embraced or is not met with a like response in terms of respectfulness, etc., I would extricate myself from the situation and then I would go to the priest.
Okay. Understood. Okay. Grateful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so very We're so very, very welcome. I really appreciate you calling in because I know that this can be a problem in a church. So we thank you for your call today. And friends, we're coming right down to the wire here, so I'm going to go out to a couple of things that are on YouTube. Antoinette requesting prayers for my son, Aaron, who is homesick today and can't keep anything down. Oh, my goodness. Those stomach viruses are awful. No one is able to be with him, and he is very anxious about it. He is in his 23rd hour of sickness. I am going to tuck Aaron right into my rosary, Antoinette, so you can be assured of the fact prayers are going up for him, and I'm going to ask y'all to pray for him too. And we appreciate all of you. Going to be back with you again next week. Please pray for our event tomorrow. If you can come and join us, please do. St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church in Boca Raton. All of the info on our website at womenofgrace.com. Until we're together again, may the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours. May God richly bless you. And let's pray for each other and for our nation and the world. Amen. Bye-bye now.